You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Morning, everybody. I thought we were done with daylight savings time. I feel like I've said that the last 2 years. I thought we were like not doing it anymore for some unknown reason. But then someone informed me that they're still thinking about it. Apparently it's in like the House or something like that, and they have to make the final decision on when we wake up. So here we are, and I'm not buying. For those of you who are watching at home because you were late, talking to you. Come on, I mean we're all. I talked to Greg. Greg actually still does it, but who changes their clocks anymore? Really, there's like two of you. We have these things. They're called phones. And they call them phones, but they do so much more, and they just do it for you. You don't have to, I had no idea I had to set my clock today because the phone does it for me. So join us. Join us, all you analog clock people. I'm just kidding. So this week, I have a new job, if some of you haven't heard. I have a new job, and it's awesome. I feel really happy about it. It's good. And my old job was good, too. For those people who are listening that might have worked with, it was great working with you. I have a new job, and it's great. And one of the many things that I get to do is I get to look at people, organizations that are doing, really good work on the impact piece of my new job. And I get to, sort of investigate, hey, what are they doing, for the greater good, and how can we support them? And so there are already a number of organizations that my company that I work for already partners with in a lot of things. So I got to do some research and go online and look up what are they doing that's so good, it's so great. So I'm sitting at Anodyne Coffee and I got my coffee and it's morning and it's packed. The place is packed. Everyone's working from Anodyne that day. And I get through the first one and I'm like, whoa, super moving. They do this thing with special needs kids. It's like a Make-A-Wish, but it's local. And they have these pictures and these videos, and I'm looking at all the impact they had, and I'm like, whew, so good, so good. I go to the next one, and it's this farm that brings in kids with special needs, and they totally love on them crazy, and they have a staff that is just, it's like paradise for these kids, and they paint, and they make a mess, and it's a disaster, but they're just loved and cared for, and they have all the professions there, and it's like, I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing, this is so great. They have this really touching video, and I'm like losing my mind, I'm weeping in Anodyne. I haven't even gotten to the third one, and I'm literally, tears are streaming down. I'm hunched over, and I'm trying to rub them out, and I look up, and there's five people staring at me. Is he okay? Are you all right? I'm okay. I'm all right. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older and things are just hitting me a little bit different. I used to constantly tell myself, you know what? Don't do that. Don't you cry. There's a Saturday Night Live thing, or I think it was Saturday Night Live. The guy's like, don't you do it. He talks to himself. And I would do that. I would tell myself, don't you cry. Don't you be that guy. Don't you shed that tear. Come on, suppress. Shove that down. Swallow that vomit. I am not going to throw up tears right now. I'm not doing it. I don't want to be that guy. Do not break. Do not break. And I had this picture that all the great people in the world, I never saw them cry. They always had it together, right? All those super leaders that you've seen, they've got it together. The teachers that I admired the most, they never lost their mind in front of me. They kept it together, right? There's some teachers in this room. You keep it together, right? You are not, okay, we got one. If you listen at home, we have one. They don't. But But I mean, you do, like, you keep it together in your classroom. Like, I'm the professional in the room. I have to maintain control, right? I'm keeping it together. Those teachers that influenced me, like, they always seem like they were perfect. You know, I've never seen a president lose their mind publicly, sort of, in a way that I'm talking about, right? And in a way that I'm speaking right now of getting weepy and emotional in that sense, I haven't seen a president do that, right? Or, I mean, church leaders, right? There are some church leaders that in my upbringing that I have admired so much, you know, and I see them on stage of thousands of people, and they always just seem like they're always in control, right? They're always in control. The situation's happening, and they're always just sort of in control, and it kind of amazes me. They've always had it together, but they've always been holy, sort of. I felt like they were always sort of holy. They had a holiness about them, keeping it tight. They had perfect halos, you know, around them. But if you're an apprentice of Jesus in the room, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're looking at saying, hey, I would like to emulate this guy. I would like Jesus to be in my heart, and like I want to live for him and be an apprentice of Jesus, then he is your master. If you know that, if you're that person, you know that Jesus was also human. Like, he was also human. Joanna Love did a great sermon a few weeks back. Maybe it might have been months back. It was months back. You can look it up on our YouTube page. But she did this great talk on just the humanity of Jesus, and I would love for you to dive into that. You see, Jesus was human, and he had emotions, and he wept. He wept. And I don't know if you've ever had that weeping experience, but you don't look good. Like, right? I mean, have you ever, like, well, I think one of the reasons why I always kind of suppressed my tears is because I'm not a pretty crier. Like, do we have pretty criers in the room? You're lying if you're raising your hand or if you're watching at home. None of you are pretty when you cry. You're all ugly when you cry. Like, it's just, you have an ugly face. It just happens. Like, it's awful. I feel awful, right? So I suppress it. But you know what? Jesus had ugly cries. He had ugly cries. He wept. He wept. Lazarus, the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was his buddy, okay? Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, and they were good friends with Jesus. They were like family. And Lazarus dies, and Jesus finds out, and you lost somebody. It's like a train wreck. You lost someone that you love, and here he is, Jesus. And we're going to read the story, John chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 21. So Jesus was teaching. He found out that Lazarus had died. He's come. Martha has sort of met him a little bit in the journey as they approach the house, and she says this. She says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. See, here's the thing. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to rise, okay? Make it clear. When he found out, he was super, like, it hit him. But he told his disciples, it's all right. He's going to rise. It's all right. He's going to live, right? And so we continue. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's saying, I know that he's going to be in heaven someday. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. She replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. So he didn't go to the house. He's still hanging out, right? He's still hanging out. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, confronting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her. So supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He was troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead, but yet he still wept. He still had an ugly cry. He was moved, and he wept with the people around him who were mourning Lazarus. They were mourning Lazarus, and he wept, and he wasn't trying to put on anything. He wasn't trying to suppress anything. He had true emotional feelings for Lazarus. He had true feelings for those people he was around that were his family and friends in this community who were mourning Lazarus, and he wept, and he cried, and he cried. Then we pick up in Luke, another time, Luke 19, 37 through 44. This is the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He said, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mountain of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, Lazarus did like rise again. Like in case you were wondering what at that story, I totally skipped that part. Like, actually, so Jesus said, "Move the big stone away from the tomb," and he said, "Lazarus, come out," and Lazarus came out, right? And everyone's like, "Whoa!" He raised people from the dead. Amazing, right? And so now he does this triumphant entry where he's entering into Jerusalem, and people have heard that he's risen people from the dead, he's healed people. So there's kind of a big crowd forming, right? So that was kind of an important piece. I want you to know that Lazarus did come back, okay? Everyone with me? All right, okay, cool. All right, so then we pick up in verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So a parade is happening. Not like the St. Paddy's Day parade yesterday that was in the way of the volleyball tournament that we went to, but something way grander than that and probably better weather, okay? And they said this, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." See, the disciples were all praising Jesus, and they're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold on. You're almost praising him like he's God or something." The Pharisees are telling Jesus, "You need to simmer them down a little bit." Like, seriously. Like, they're, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is almost too much. And Jesus says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." He's talking to the Pharisees, and he's weeping over them. He's weeping over them. They're like, "They just don't get it. They don't get it. These are my people too, and they're missing it." And he's losing it. He is emotional about this. He is crying. He has got an ugly cry on. He's got an ugly cry on, and he is weeping over his people. And then he's also looking at his city who are praising him right now, who are eventually going to be saying, "Crucify him." And he's weeping over the humanity and the decisions that they're making and what they're missing, and he's weeping, and he's weeping. And then in Hebrews 5:7, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions and fervent cries and tears to the one who gave, who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus offered prayers and cries and tears to God to get him through what he was about to go through. Please, God, help me through this. And he did. And he did. When the time was right, he did. You see, in grief and loss and confusion and wonder, when you are moved with emotion, Jesus gets it. He gets it. Jesus is actually moved with you. There is no holy halo. He came off his throne for you. For you. And he's in it with you. So I want to give you a real life example of this. 18 years ago yesterday, my daughter was born, Abigail. And if many of you in this room know Abigail and know the story, Abigail was born at about 3 months old. She started to have seizures. And there was sort of little jerking movements, and it was concerned, so we brought her to the doctor. And the doctor's like, hey, I want to check out some few things and go home, but keep your phones on. And I'm not sure we even got in the house before we got a phone call saying go to Children's Hospital, and we want to do some more tests and things like that. And so we brought in our little three-month-old. That was our little precious girl. And, you know, they're doing all these tests, and it's very confusing as a parent. When they have your three-month, this little baby in their hands, and they're drawing blood and doing brain scans, and it freaks you out. And I remember the moment that the doctor came in to kind of give us a diagnosis or of a beginning diagnosis, and I remember hearing words come out of his mouth but not understanding, almost like the Peanuts parents in the cartoon, wah, 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 you know, I was numb. I was numb of what was going on, but I know it wasn't good. And I remember losing my mind. I remember losing my mind. I remember weeping in tears, not knowing what's going to happen. I remember, the next thing I remember being sort of escorted into the room next door because I was literally losing it on the floor and weeping. And I remember just feeling the presence of God in that moment. It's like the Holy Spirit just created a space where I felt Jesus next to me. And Jesus wasn't trying to pick me up. He wasn't trying to be like, hey, get yourself together. Jesus was weeping with me. He was grieving with me. He was crying his eyes out with me. He was in the same pain that I was in. And it was such a powerful, powerful moment for me, life-changing, really, that I don't think I could get up off the floor if it wasn't for my master next to me experiencing what I'm experiencing with me. And I share that today because I think often when we are sitting in grief and confusion like I was, we need that. We need the God of the universe to come down into our world, into our little room, and we need him to grieve with us. We need to cry it out with our Lord. And know that he's right there with us in our pain and in our suffering and in our confusion, in our loss. And when the time is right, he helps us move through that. He helps us move through our grief, our loss, our confusion, our wonder. But we need to take a moment to do that with him so that he can help us through it. And I think oftentimes what we do is we suppress it. It's like, oh, no, I'm just not going to do that, right? We're just going to suppress it altogether. We're not even aware of it. And then there's other times where we do it, but we don't invite him in it. We don't invite him in it. We're not aware that he's right next to us. And so what I want to do today, we're going to stand. Let's stand. And here's what I want to do. I just want to take we've done this a few times. I just want to take a few minutes and just quiet. We're not going to have music going or anything like that, but just stand. I just want to invite the Holy Spirit into this room. He's already here. Holy Spirit, just move. And I think for some of you in the room today, you have been grieving. You have felt lost. You have felt confused. You have wondered. You have suppressed emotion. And what I want you to do is, what I'd love for you to ask is ask Jesus where he is during those times. That time right now that you're in grieving or you're feeling loss or confusion, I would like you during this time of silence just to ask Jesus, where are you and what are you doing right now? And allow him to show you what he is doing. And then for some of you, you've been doing this, but you've been doing it alone. You've been doing it alone. Ask Jesus what he's doing. Invite him into it. Invite him into it. And then for some, you're not sure. I guess it goes back to that suppressing thing I said. For some, you've been suppressing the stuff that you've been trying to maintain, keeping it together, not letting those emotions out, keeping that holy halo on your head. I've got it together, trying to make that happen. And what I'm inviting you today to take that halo off and say, Jesus, what do you want to sit in right now? What do you want to sit in with me right now? And then just allow that space. We're just going to take a couple minutes of quiet and just allow Jesus to speak, okay? So I got a sense of a couple things. One is that there's some people in the room that are really dealing with some unknowns and confusion, like just uncertainty, and it's bubbling up all kinds of emotion in you, and it's so much, it's affecting you. But you're questioning where Jesus is in those moments. And so I would love for you to get prayer today. And then I also just got an overwhelming sense that there's a few people that have been just struggling with loss in general and haven't really allowed yourself to cry, to mourn. I've tried to keep it together for either those around you or friends or loved one. You've tried to keep it together for those people around you. And the Lord just says, hey, weep. It's okay. I got you. Weep. Weep. And it's okay. And I would love for you to get prayer as well today. So if any of those words or any of those things today hit you at all, one of the things we do here is we love to pray. And so in the back, there'll be a prayer team to my left, your right, during worship. I'd love for you to sneak back there and get prayer. And don't, this is a safe place, so if you want to cry, you cry. No ugly face judgment here, I promise. But allow Jesus to weep with you, to get emotional with you today. And then we're going to do worship, and we're actually going to do communion within worship today. So we'll lead you through that as well. Okay? Let's worship and pray.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.